on a hillside that slopes up from the Sea of Galilee on the north side. Do you like how I show this picture every time at the beginning of my teaching on the Sermon on the Mount? Because that's where it happened. On that very hillside, Jesus sat, his disciples stood, and it was a multitude of disciples. It wasn't just the 12. When it says it was a multitude, we don't know how many exactly. In my mind, I think of 100 or 200, but I don't really know for sure, and neither do you. We're just guessing. But a multitude of disciples listened to Jesus as he gave the most amazing sermon that's ever been preached. And the main theme of the sermon was the kingdom of God. Jesus was saying, this is what it means to be my disciple. This is what it means to be a citizen of my kingdom. That was the message of Jesus. And he began by discussing the character and the heart of kingdom citizens. That's the first part of Matthew chapter 5, where we call the Beatitudes. Then Jesus did, in an extended section, he talked about how people misunderstand the word of God. God gave a command about murder, but many people misunderstand it. And Jesus talked about that. God gave a command about adultery, but many people misunderstand it. And God talked about that, or Jesus explained it. God gave a command about loving your neighbor. Many people misunderstood it, so Jesus explained it. Now, coming into Matthew chapter 6, in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to deal with three, I don't know what you would want to call them, spiritual practices, things we do as disciples of Jesus. And these are the three. Ready? You got to remember these. Number one, giving. Number two, praying. And number three, fasting. So that's what we're going to talk about, what Jesus says about those three things over tonight and the next 2 weeks: giving, praying, and fasting. So tonight we're going to talk about giving. Now, one of the great advantages of teaching verse by verse through the books of the Bible is that when you teach verse by verse, you come upon topics just in the manner of coming upon them. It can often be awkward. Can we have a little Sunday night moment here? Things I don't share with the Sunday morning people. Because you guys are my favorite service. Don't tell anybody from the morning, but you guys are my favorite service. Okay, it's awkward sometimes for pastors to preach about giving, to talk about what the Bible says. People start getting all nervous. Pastor, what are you talking about money for? The church is always talking about money. I'll tell you what I should have said in the morning, because every time I say these things to you on Sunday night, I would say, I should have said this in the morning. Why didn't I say it in the morning? But I just feel a little more free, a little more relaxed in the evening. I think that pastors and churches don't talk about money enough, because money is a huge discipleship issue. Now, there's much more to what the Bible says about money than giving. That's going to be one aspect. We talk about it tonight. But money is a huge discipleship issue. We live in an uber materialistic age. We live in an age where we live at the level, at the comforts, at the luxuries that Roman emperors didn't enjoy 2,000 years ago. This is the age we live in. And so we need to hear again and again what the Bible says about money, material things, and giving. Now, you don't have to think, well, the church must need money, and we're going to take a second offering after the message. No, we're just coming across this as we teach on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount, so we're going to take a look at it in the Sermon on the Mount. And if I can tell you this, not to frighten you away, but he's not done talking about it in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to come back to another place where he talks later in the Sermon on the Mount about giving. But shall we see what Jesus said about giving right here? Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Jesus assumed that his disciples would do charitable deeds. Now, it's very interesting, in the original language, the word that we translate charitable deeds, the word actually means righteousness. It's in the plural. If we wanted to say, we'd say righteousnesses, you know, multiple righteous acts. Don't do your righteous acts to be seen of men. Now, there's a very interesting idea here. Number one, Jesus has just talked to us about living a life as a disciple at a high level. About the heart when it comes to murder, about the heart when it comes to hatred, about the heart when it comes to lust, about the heart and all these different things. And somebody might be thinking, man, if I could live like that, I'd be a pretty righteous guy. Jesus, no, wait a minute now. Don't live your righteousness to be a display for others so that you get the credit. What Jesus is telling us to do is to be concerned with more than image. Now, this is a big point, and we're going to talk about it in the next several weeks, not just tonight. But friends, this is a huge point. The life Jesus wants us to live as disciples is concerned with more than the image of being a disciple. It's truly being a disciple. You know, on a Sunday at a service, I just did it a few minutes ago, I will pray in front of you. I will pray, leading the congregation in prayer. I prayed before we started this evening's sermon. When I pray before a congregation, I want you to know something. I'm talking to God. I'm not talking to you. Okay? Do we understand that? I'm talking to God. I'm not talking to you. But there's at least a small part of myself that is aware you are listening. And I have to always be careful that I'm not praying in a way that I'm performing for you so that you think I'm really spiritual. Isn't that always a tendency? I need to pray in such a way that really shows those people, oh, I really love God and I'm really spiritual. Where that may not match the reality of my life. I can't be satisfied with having you just think I'm spiritual or holy. I want to be a true disciple of Jesus. It's not just image, it's the reality of it all. One of the reasons why this is such a big point is I told you before in this message that materialism is a big deal in our modern age. Well, let me tell you what another thing is in our modern age, another big deal. Another big deal in our modern age is that we are satisfied just with an image and not the reality. We are an inch thick and a mile wide. We don't have any depth. You know, it's the age of Google, where you know a tiny bit about everything, but you don't go deep down into anything. And so we can't be satisfied as Christians with just having the image of being disciples of Jesus. We need to truly be disciples of Jesus. That's why Jesus says, look at it again in verse 1, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men. Now, we must admit, Jesus assumed that his disciples would give. That's what it means to do a charitable deed, to give. This was so established in the Jewish mind. Let me read you a quote from a commentator named William Barclay. He said this. He said, to give alms and to be righteous were one and the same thing. In their thinking, a righteous person was a giver. Some years ago, I talked to a pastor friend of mine who visited Jerusalem. So this wasn't my experience, it was his experience, but it was an interesting experience. He told me a story about one time he's there on the streets of Jerusalem and he sees a beggar. And he politely declined to give anything to the beggar. You live in Santa Barbara, do you know how to politely decline to give people? You just do. I mean, it's just, you know, we understand that. So he politely declined to give something to the man who was asking for something. And then just then, right in front of him, was a guy who was an Orthodox Jew. The hat, the hair, the beard. I mean, he was an Orthodox Jew. And this Orthodox Jew was so mad at this pastor friend of mine because he sized him up pretty quick and saw this is like an American Christian pastor here visiting. Sometimes we think we blend in into places like that. We don't blend in. You know, everybody can see you easily. So he sized him and goes, and this is, the man didn't speak a word, but my friend knew exactly what he was communicating. You Christian pastor, you don't know anything about righteousness. Let me show you about righteousness. And again, he didn't say these words, but man, that was the vibe all over it. What he did was he went into his pocket, he pulled out a wad of bills, and he stuffed it into the beggar's hat without ever once looking at the beggar. He had death eyes on the pastor the whole time. This is how you be a righteous man. You give to the poor. Well, that was a pretty vivid demonstration of this very principle. In the Jewish thinking of that time, a righteous person was a giver. Now, Jesus didn't contradict that. Jesus wants us to be givers. This is just part of being like God. Do you know who is the greatest giver that has ever existed in all the universe? It's God himself. God is a giver. Jesus is a giver. If we will be like God, if we will be conformed into the image of his son, we will be givers as well. And let me say something else. And this is for a Santa Barbara congregation. I don't know if I would say the same thing, but the same principle is true. But I think it's especially relevant in Santa Barbara. I have observed something about Santa Barbarians. Well, first of all, isn't it funny that when you live in Santa Barbara, everybody thinks that we're all amazingly rich? You meet somebody, like we walk around with big sacks of money all the time. That's everybody's impression of people from Santa Barbara. Well, okay, you and I, we know the truth, okay? But I'll tell you this about people from Santa Barbara. This is my impression, that Santa Barbarians are very generous. I am impressed with the generosity of people in our community. I have to say, it's very striking. But here's the thing. When it comes to Christians in Santa Barbara, I think it's very easy for them to neglect giving to their local church. Why? Because there's so many other great needs out there that are knocking at their door or calling on the phone or making appeals. And ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of great causes out there. There are. There are wonderful things being done by nonprofits and by parachurch organizations in our community and places that do fundraising in our community. They're great things. I'm not saying anything against them. But what I am telling you is this, is that the Bible says that Christians should have a priority on giving to the house of God, the place where you get spiritually fed. Now, did I say exclusive? Did I say exclusive? I didn't say exclusive. I said priority. So here's a couple verses that show that priority. Look first at Romans chapter 15, verse 27. We'll put it up there on the screen for you. It says, "For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things." In other words, when you have received spiritual things, you have a duty to return material things. And that is one of the passages that speak to the principle that where you are spiritually fed, where you're spiritually strengthened, where you're spiritually sustained, the house of God that you frequent, this should be a priority. And again, I didn't say exclusive, but I said a priority. Here's another passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. It says, "If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things?" And that's a rhetorical question. The answer to that is no, it's not a great thing. You should. You should give to the place where you get spiritually fed. Now, look, there's a dozen questions that come up in people's minds with, how much should I give? Where should I give? How much should I give to the house of God? How much should I give to these other causes and this? Listen, a lot of that, I'm just going to trust you to work out with the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what the pattern is of our family. And based on what I'm going to look at in a couple of verses, I feel kind of bad telling you this, but I feel like I got to tell you just so you have an idea. This is what we do in the Guzik home. Inga-Lil and I have made it our practice all of our life together, our married life, to give unto the Lord a tithe, a 10% of our income. That's just what we do. And let me just say, God has blessed us with it. He's blessed us abundantly for doing that. Now, we give that unto God's house, unto the church here. This is just what we do. Now, that's not the end of our giving. We'll also give beyond that to other things outside. And that's a practice that some people have. Look, I'll give my tithe, my 10%, a certain designated proportion to the house of God, and whatever I give above that, I mean, now, again, I'm not telling you that as way of a commandment, but that's a principle a lot of people I know have followed, and that's what we do in our particular home. Now, notice this. Understanding all that, that Jesus expected that his followers would give, the main point here is that Jesus is concerned about how we give. He says, take heed, verse 1 again, that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. When we give for the attention and the applause of men, their attention and applause, that's your reward. It's much better to receive a reward from our Father in heaven than it is to receive the applause and the attention of man. Now, this is one thing that's pretty radical in my mind. It's easy in the world of nonprofits, of charitable organizations, to say, listen, man, there's no such thing as a bad gift. As long as you write the check, I don't care what your motive is. And you can make the argument that it's better to do the right thing from a bad motive than to not do the right thing at all. Okay, I get that. But we don't have to choose between it. The point is this. It's not enough before God to do the right thing. You also have to do it with the right heart. And the heart is to give glory to God, not glory to yourself. Now, nobody has to fear. Look, we're not going to pass around the offering bags. We're not into manipulation. But let me end, and this is a real conclusion, with three takeaways for tonight. Okay, real conclusion, three takeaways. Number one, and this might be the most important thing that I say to you here tonight. The kingdom of God is about reality, not image. What's real? What's true? And if you've been living a Christian life that's pretty much image and not truth and not reality, then you know what? Humbly come to God and just confess that sin to Him. Humbly come to God and say, Lord, would you please forgive me? Please forgive me, God. I've been satisfied with having the image of a disciple, but I haven't really been living it out. God will forgive you, but I want you to see that this is what God wants you to do. God isn't into just the image of discipleship. He wants the truth of it. Number two, the kingdom of God is about generosity. Jesus assumed that his people would give. He didn't tell them to give. He told them how to give, assuming that they would. The kingdom of God is about generosity. And then number three, the kingdom of God is about God's glory, not my own. And if my giving, my praying, or my fasting, as we're going to see over the next 2 weeks as well, if my giving, my praying, my fasting, if it leaves people with the impression, oh, he's so spiritual, then I'm doing it wrong. It should be about God's glory and not my own. Because that's what the kingdom is all about. It shouldn't be about building my own image of being some spiritual person. No, Lord, it's not about that at all. I want you to be glorified. So let's pray. These are three big things. The kingdom of God is about reality, not image. The kingdom of God is about generosity. And the kingdom of God is about God's glory and not our own. These are three things to really sink down into our hearts. Let's pray that they do. Father in heaven, we pray that you would do this in our midst. We want this to be real in our life. And Lord, I pray especially for whoever here tonight, Lord, they've really been challenged about giving. I pray for those who feel super guilty right now because that they know that their financial life isn't the way you want it to be. Lord, I pray that you would sweep away all the condemnation of the devil. Sweep it away, Lord, with a wave of your hand. And Father, I pray that instead of the condemnation of the devil, people would receive and live and just learn how to walk in the greatness, Lord, of your generosity. Teach us, Lord. Lord, maybe there's a lot of bad financial habits in a life, and sometimes our heart can change right away, but it takes longer for our habits to change. Lord, we pray that you would work on us, not just in our heart, but let that work out in habits that bring you glory. So work in us, Lord. And let us do it all, Lord, for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' matchless name.